Hebrews chapter number 4, Hebrews chapter number 4 this morning, if you want to be finding your place, Hebrews chapter number 4, and we continue this morning in our series that we began a few weeks ago on mercy, and I've entitled this series, Now Great is Thy Mercy, and we're going to look at another aspect of the mercy of God and how we're recipients of the mercy of God, and we trust that it'll be a help to us this morning and remind you. A simple definition of mercy is not getting what you deserve. And when you have the judge who decides to give leniency, and we certainly are grateful for the mercy of God this morning. Hebrews chapter number 4, and we'll begin reading with verse number 14. We'll read verse 14, 15, and 16 if you want to follow along with me. And we'll stay right here in this text this morning. Hebrews chapter number 4, we'll begin with verse number 14. And so far, I'm proud of you. After losing an hour of sleep last night, only four of you are asleep now. And so that's actually above average. And so at this point in the service. So Hebrews chapter number 4 and verse number 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let me just stop right there and say, having Jesus, the Son of God, as your high priest is better than any man. Yeah. I'll just say that right there. I think we could all agree with that. Verse 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Now watch verse 16. Let us, therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This morning, I want to preach on the subject of His mercy receives me. His mercy receives me. Father, we come to You this morning grateful for Your many blessings, grateful for the opportunity we have to serve, to be a part of Your church. Now, Father, I pray now that during the time of the preaching, the message this morning, may the Spirit of God have liberty. May He work in hearts. May He comfort where we need to be comforted, strengthen where we need to be strengthened, convict where we need to be convicted. And Father, I pray that we'd be reminded of the great mercy You've bestowed upon us and how it's not just a one-time gift that is continually available. Now, Father, I pray that Your will be done this morning. May we yield to Your Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful passage of Scripture we see here in three verses that are really foundational in our faith and our salvation. We're going to look at this morning from the aspect of mercy and how great is God's mercy in the fact that we're received by His mercy. If we're honest this morning, and I'm going to try and help us to be a little bit honest this morning. Imagine that, being honest with God in church. But if we're honest, one of the struggles that we have as Christians in the Christian life, it's not whether we believe God exists. Certainly we know that God exists, and we believe on His Son for salvation. I'm not saying there's not times we wonder where He is. I'm not saying there's not times we wonder why He's silent and seems distant from us. But the truth of the matter is, we do not live in a way that even when we struggle, even when we fail, we stop believing that He exists. But if we were honest this morning, there's probably a struggle that we experience more often than we want to admit. I would dare say everybody in here, if you were honest this morning, you would say, I've struggled with that at some point in my Christian life, if you're not struggling with it now. But this struggle is not just believing in God, but this struggle is believing that God still welcomes us when we need Him the most. See, we know God is holy. We know God is righteous. And if we're honest, we know we're not holy. We know we're not righteous, but by the grace of God and His salvation. And this morning, I don't want to discourage you, but I want us to be real this morning. If you're new to this church or you're here for the first time, I don't want to frighten you, but you came to church with just a bunch of sinners. And that's what we are, but thanks be to God, we can say we're sinners saved by His grace. But the truth of the matter is, no matter when you got saved, no matter how far back you look, and whether you got saved as a child or you got saved, born into the family of God yesterday, the truth of the matter is you did not stop being a sinner. You did not stop being flesh and blood. You have not failed your last time. You have not struggled spiritually your last time. You have not fallen your last time. Call it, categorize it, any way you want to categorize it. We are flesh, we are blood, we are sinners, thankfully saved by the grace of God. But when we realize our humanity, we realize our sinful nature, we realize, and this is true of everybody in the room, that we have failed this week. We have sinned this week. We have sin problems today. When we realize that, there are times when we are faced with the reality of our situation, we may wonder, can I talk to God? Or why would He receive me? Don't miss this morning. It's easy for us to develop a pattern. A pattern we need to avoid, but we develop this pattern even when we don't realize it. See, when we struggle spiritually, when we fall, or again, however you want to categorize it, we have a tendency to pull away from God. When we feel ashamed, we stay distanced from Him. When we are discouraged, that's when our prayers begin to become silent. Not because we stop believing in God, but because we feel so unworthy to even approach Him. See, instead of running to God, when life becomes heavy, we tend to push away from God. Instead of running to God, when we're faced with our sinful nature, we're faced with our failures. And quite frankly, that's why some people have a struggle with being faithful to church. It's not that they hate God. It's not that they don't realize they're blessed by being there. It's not that they don't like the pastor. I mean, what's not to like? I mean, it's not that. It's the fact that we know that God is going to meet with us. We know we're going to sing praises unto Him. And how unworthy do we feel, because we know what we fell into this past week. We know the mistakes that we made. We know the commitments that we went back on. We know the weak moment that life caught us in. And it's, I'm not worthy to be at the house of God. I'm not worthy to even enter in His presence. And we get this pattern that's a very dangerous pattern, and we push away from Him. We ought to be running to Him. This morning, before I go even further, if you feel away from God, you're in the right place. If you feel unworthy of God, well, that's the proper way to feel, because we're all unworthy of God. We must decide now, and those of a young age, you need to decide in your youth that when you fail and when you fall, that is not when you're going to leave the things of God. That's not when you're going to push away from Him. Yes, there's conviction there, and yes, there can be some shame there, but we become distanced from the very person who can help us. It's almost like if you get sick, you refuse to see a doctor. Now, every man in here knows we don't need doctors. We just go to make our wives happy. Or at least we tell her we go to keep her happy. No, if we were going to, if we had been diagnosed with a disease, and especially an incurable one, the worst thing we could do is stay away from the very place where we could get helped. See, we begin to feel unworthy to approach Him. Maybe we think, if you failed this week, you think, I should be stronger than this. I should have handled this better. Or maybe, and I can't even begin to number the times that I've heard this in my ministry, I'll come back to God when I get everything straightened out. However, our Bible reveals a very different response that we should have. This text this morning, and we'll elaborate in just a few moments, but we are reminded that God has built a throne. He has not built a throne that pushes His people away. Instead, He has established a throne that invites them to come. Make no mistake, God sits on His throne. He is the ruler of the heavens. He is the ruler of all things. He's the creator of all things. He is holiness. He is righteousness. We do not compare holy things to God to holy things. We compare the word definition holiness to God. He is holiness. But may I remind us this morning that in our humanity and in our frailty and in our failures and in our sinful nature, we have a Bible that tells us, in our text this morning reminds us of something that is quite remarkable. When it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." This morning and 2 weeks ago, we looked at the subject of mercy and how it follows us. If you can think back to that, it follows us through life. But mercy also receives us when we come to God. Let me make four statements this morning from our text that I think will help us. Number one, we have a high priest who understands us. The writer of Hebrews reminds us of this essential truth, and we see it in verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." See, under the Old Testament system, the high priest represented the people before God. He would carry their needs, their sins, their petitions into the presence of the Lord. He did not enter into the heavens. He entered into the holy place in the tabernacle. He represented the people before God. But the book of Hebrews reminds us that now we have a greater high priest. That is Jesus Christ Himself. And we're reminded by the Scripture, which we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities in verse 15. What the Bible is telling us this morning is that Jesus understands our humanity and our human weakness. While we push away from God when we need Him the most because we do not want to enter into His presence because we know who He is, we know what He represents, we know we're unworthy, we must be reminded that we have a high priest who understands what it's like to be human. See, He understands your human weakness having had none. He does not observe humanity from such a distance that He does not understand it. See, we have to be reminded that Jesus became flesh and He experienced what it was like to be human while still being 100% God. Jesus experienced hunger. He experienced exhaustion. He experienced rejection. He experienced sorrow. He experienced temptation. Jesus, you read the Gospels, you know He walked the dusty roads of this world. You know Jesus felt the pressures of life. Jesus knew what it was to be misunderstood. We know He did this perfectly as the perfect Son of God. But because He experienced those things, because He did put on flesh, He understands our struggles. He does not respond to them with distance or disdain. He responds with compassion. See, may we be reminded this morning that the one who sits on the throne knows exactly what it feels like to be rejected, to grieve, to have sorrow, to be misunderstood, to be lonely. See, we have a high priest who has been touched by the infirmities of this world. So it's important for us to understand, as we have a tendency to push away from God when we need Him the most, because He is holy, because He is righteousness, let us not forget that we're reminded, before we're told to go boldly into His, up to His throne, is the fact that we have a high priest who understands what we're going through. He left heaven and put on flesh, so not so we could identify with Him necessarily, so He could identify with us, so that we could identify with Him. So you have a high priest who understands us. You may say, Pastor, nobody in this world understands me. Well, there's one in heaven that understands you. Statement number two, God's throne is a throne of grace. Think about this with me for just a moment. When the writer of the book of Hebrews makes this statement in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now, if you've grown up in church, you've heard a lot of messages preached, you've read your Bible for years, you've read that passage, you're probably familiar with it. But for a Jew to hear that said, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. See, I just reminded us that the priest entered into the holy place on their behalf. There was a certain ceremony the priest had to go through to enter into that holy place, and if he had not prepared himself, the Lord would take his life. He represented the people, the Jewish people. You got to think how this would have sounded to them. How can we go to the throne? We're forbidden to enter the holy place. There's a priest that has to go on our behalf. I've never seen the holy place. I've never been in that presence. How odd this must have sounded to them. And now they're being told to enter the presence of God with boldness. It is because they have a new high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. And now because of Him, they can enter into that holy place because Jesus has met the terms of justice, because Jesus has done what is necessary to satisfy the holiness of God, to satisfy the justice of God, to satisfy His righteousness on our behalf. Jesus has paved that way. Well, think about that phrase this morning. That's why salvation is by grace. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't buy your way to heaven. You can't luck your way into heaven. It's by the grace of God, the blood of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, used His own blood to satisfy the debt that was paid. See, this is very simple and practical. There's a lot of doctrinal depth to what we're talking about this morning. But let me make a very practical observation and application. This is a throne of grace. Do you see it there in your Bible? It's not a throne of disappointment. It's not a throne of rejection. It's a throne of grace. See, we must be reminded of this. How can we be told to enter in boldly into the throne of grace, into His presence? Does it mean God has lowered His holiness? Absolutely not. Does it mean God has relaxed His righteousness? Absolutely not. But because Jesus paid the full penalty for our sins, the throne that once represented judgment for sinners has become a throne of grace for believers. Let me say that again, not necessarily because you need to hear it, but I want to say it again. God has not lowered His holiness. So how can we enter into His presence? Because Jesus Christ has paid the full penalty for our sins. The throne that once represented judgment for sinners has become a throne of grace for believers. The same God who is perfectly holy and is also perfectly merciful. And because of Christ, believers are not told to approach God with hesitation. See, we don't have to fear the judge out of fear of the just judgment. This is where some Christians get stuck. Let's go back to that introduction. We fail. We're sinners. We make commitments to Him, then go back on them. And instead of going to the very one we need, we push away because we know we're not worthy of Him. Because we know what we really are. So we know who God is. We know who we've sinned against. We look at that judge. But friend, for the believer, it's not a throne of judgment anymore. If you're saved this morning, that has been satisfied. What we look at as a throne of judgment is not a throne of judgment, but it is a throne of grace. See, you don't have to fear the judge. Just say, I failed him, but the price has already been paid. I'm a sinner. I must avoid the judge for the judgment. No. The price has been paid. Your price has been fulfilled. Mercy and grace has stepped in on your behalf. Judgment has been satisfied. Well, this is the way we act sometimes. If I can use this simple illustration, you might be speeding down the road and you see the popo. You see the police. You avoid them. You act like nothing's going on. Because, I mean, let's be honest. You know how fast you're going. That's one thing. Say, well, I've got a warrant out for my arrest. I don't think I'm going to go down to the courthouse. You'd probably avoid that. Anybody out there with me? What, you got a warrant out for your arrest? What are you talking about? I would understand that. If somebody has a warrant out for that, say, you might want to avoid the courthouse. You might want to avoid that judge. Please don't miss this. We failed this week, didn't we? We weren't as committed as we should have been. We sinned. We went back on God. Our faith wasn't what it should have been. We look at that throne. We look at that righteous God who we know who He is. We say, oh, I have to avoid Him. That's the throne of judgment. He's righteous. And let's be honest, we know what we deserve. We know we failed Him. We know we don't measure it. We know what we deserve. But the judge says, don't avoid the throne. You can come right into it because that price has already been paid. So what God is saying to us today, my mercy will always receive you. And when you fail and when you fall and when you falter and when you come up short and when your faith isn't what it's supposed to be and when you get discouraged, when you know you should be an overcomer, don't avoid the throne. Enter to the throne because that judgment has already been satisfied. And it's like having immunity, if you can say it like that, that I can go right into the judge and say, I need you to help straighten this mess out that I've made. You know, the price has already been paid, but I still failed. I still did what I shouldn't do, but I need you to help me. The Bible tells us We don't have to fear the judge out of fear of the just judgment, because justice has been satisfied with the sacrifice of Jesus. So what are we told? We're not just told to come unto the throne of grace, which that would be good enough. If that's all it said, I'd take it. I'd take it. I'd run with it. I'd do my best to live it, preach it, practice it. But the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is not arrogantly. This is not pridefully. It's confidently. It's confidence like a child who knows his father will receive him. Oh, don't you know you messed up and what you deserve? Well, I'm going to go talk to the judge. Oh, I don't know if you want to talk to the judge. Oh, by the way, he's my father. By the way, the price has already been paid. Who else? I mean, there might be consequences for what I've done, but I'm going to go talk to him, because if anybody has grace and if anybody has mercy, if anybody can do something about it, it's him. So we're told to come boldly. By the way, can I tell you, God's not surprised when you need his help? Well, I got to go to God and tell him I need help. I hope he's not shocked. Oh, he's not. He's aware of our failures. One of the greatest encouraging verses in the Bible is, he remembereth we are but dust. He knows we need him. He knows we're not going to do it without him. He knows we're going to mess up. He knows we're going to falter. He knows our faith is going to waver. He knows all of those things, because we're humanity. And the best person in here this morning still is not perfect. The best person in here still has bad days. The best person in here still gets discouraged from time to time. And because of that, when we go to him and not avoid him, he says, I've been expecting you. I've been expecting you because I have admonished you. Don't run from me when you need me. Don't avoid me. Come to me. You'll find it is a throne of grace. Statement number three, mercy is available when we need it most. We're not just coming. We're not just bidden to come to the throne of grace just to take a tour. There's a purpose behind it. That we may obtain mercy. See, we have to be reminded, and yes, there is a penalty for our sins. There is punishment for our sins. There's all of those things. There's consequences of actions. But when Jesus Christ shed his blood, and we put our faith and trust, and we look to Christ and what he did, and he satisfied the wrath of God. He satisfied that punishment. He was our punishment. God expects us to come to that throne. Why? To obtain mercy. See, that word obtain reminds us that mercy is not earned. Mercy is received. We don't come to the throne of grace to prove that we're worthy. We come because we're not. Let that settle on you just for a moment. That's why you don't go to your knees to convince God you're worthy to be there. You go to your knees because you're not worthy to be there. You go to an altar and spend time with God, not because you're worthy, because you're not worthy. And by the way, if you stay in your seat too, you're still not worthy either. We aren't worthy. That's why we go. I mean, I you almost have to hold a gun to my head to make me go to the ER when I need to be there. It's weighing out. Okay, my medical emergency, how does it measure up with sitting in the ER for the next 6.5 days? That's what it seems like. I go in with this issue, but I'm going to catch every other sickness that's in there. So you weigh that out. Well, when you do have to go to the ER, and you're in there and say, hey, why are you here? What's wrong with you? There ain't nothing wrong with me. I've got perfect health. I just thought I'd come down here and see what's going on. I've got nothing else to do. I'm going to watch the same infomercial for 2.5 hours. You would think, why in the world, if you've got no problems and you've got no issues and you got perfect health, why would you hang out in the ER? Friend, you wouldn't. And if you ever encounter somebody in that situation that says, I'm in perfect health, I got no problems, they need psychiatric treatment. That's the issue. Because you don't go hang out in the ER when everything is perfect and your health is good. Likewise, you don't throw yourself at the throne of grace when you haven't messed up. That's where you go. You go there because you're not worthy. You go there because you are a sinner still. You go there because you need the grace of God. You go there because your faith did waver. You go there because the problems are too big. You go there because you thought things you shouldn't have thought. You go there because you did get discouraged. You go there because you were going to give up. That's why you go to obtain that mercy. That phrase means exactly when help is required. Statement number 4, grace provides strength for the journey. We find grace and we find mercy in the same room. You'll often find one when the other's present. See, grace is going to provide strength for the journey. The verse says we obtain mercy. But look what else it says, and find grace. And can I say that often we see that phrase that we obtain mercy, and that's such a wonderful promise and a wonderful truth, and that helps us so much that often we just stop right there. We rejoice there. We say amen there. Oh, I can get through another day because I can obtain mercy. But the verse still goes on. Not only do we obtain mercy because we need it, we find grace there in our time of need. See, don't miss this. Let me break it down as simply as I possibly can. Mercy is dealing with that past. It's dealing with the failure from this past week. It's dealing from the things that you're trying to overcome. It's dealing from the areas that you failed in. It's dealing with all of those things. And it's saying, I'm not done with you because of that. I'm not going to cast you aside because of that. I'm still your heavenly Father. I still love you. And I can still use you. And you can find that mercy. And you don't have to just throw up your hands and say, well, I tried this Christian thing. I tried this church thing and I tried this Son of God thing and it didn't work. No, God's not casting you aside. God's not throwing you away. And you say, but Pastor, I have failed week in and week out. Friend, there's no close sign on that throne room of grace and mercy. And he says, just keep coming and this mercy will take care of that past. That past can be decades ago, that past could be this morning. But we find mercy that takes care of that past. It deals with it. We're reminded that the price has been paid. Justice has been satisfied. That high priest by the name of Jesus Christ has made a way for us to enter into that throne room. Mercy deals with the past. But grace strengthens the present. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Mercy says you're forgiven. All of us need to hear this morning. Some of us really need to hear this. You are forgiven. Pastor, you're saying that you don't know what I did. I don't have to know what you did. It's not me handing out the forgiveness. It's God's mercy. This says you are forgiven. The devil can remind you about it, but you remind him, you are forgiven. Pastor, I feel bad about it. Good, you should feel bad about it, but let me just help you feel a little bit better. You are forgiven. You can sleep at night because in your failure, in your flesh, there is a God who loves us. There's a God who has forgiven us. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that price has been paid by the high priest. He has entered into that holy place on behalf of us. He has applied His blood to cover our sins. And that is saying to us today, you are forgiven. So some of you just need to get over it and realize that it's under the blood of Christ. You're forgiven. Quit letting it hold you back from committing to God. Quit letting it hold you back from serving God. Quit letting it hold you back from making that next step in your Christian life. No matter what it is, mercy says price has already been paid. You're forgiven. Grace now says, I'm going to help you keep going and moving forward. Mercy's dealing with that. Grace says, in spite of all of that, I'll give you what you need to keep going forward. See, what you'll find if you'll pursue that mercy that you find at the throne of God, you'll find and be reminded that you're forgiven. God's not holding it against you. The blood has paid that price. But you'll find a bonus, if I can say it like that. You were reminded you're forgiven. And friend, you can go through life knowing that you've been forgiven. Boy, that gives you strength. And that puts some wind in your sails, if I can say it like that. This world may not understand it. My friends and family may not agree with it. But God says at His throne of mercy, you are forgiven. But I wasn't looking for this, but while I was there getting that mercy, God says, while you're here, I got some grace for you. And now that mercy is dealing with the past. When you walk out of here, you've got grace. And that grace will keep you going in spite of your failures, in spite of your mistakes. In spite of all the failures that you've had in your life, that grace says, I'm going to keep you going. See, God does not only remove the guilt, He provides the strength to move forward. See, the Christian life is not just sustained by your personal determination. You should have some determination. You should determine, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to overcome. You should determine, when I fail, I'm not going to distance myself from God. I'm going to go to Him. That's not going to be enough, friend. You're going to have God's sustaining grace and divine help. Can I tell you this morning, that help arrives exactly when it is needed. This morning, if there's something that you need to get right with your God, can I just tell you, if you're saved this morning, it is under the blood of Christ. He's just waiting for you to come to Him so He can remind you that you have been forgiven. Now, while you are here, you can find the grace that you need to keep moving forward. Friend, this morning, if you're new to the family of God, if you're new to the church this morning, if you're new to this way of life, let me just help you this morning. There's not perfect people here. There's not people who have completely overcome their flesh. They're just people who found mercy in the eyes of God because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, why have they gotten over everything? Not completely over everything. And there are times of discouragement because they're reminded of what took place back there that needed mercy. But God says, I'll give you my grace to keep going. And many of you, if you had the opportunity this morning, you could testify, I came to God and begged for mercy and He gave it to me. I never thought I could be used again. I never thought I could serve Him. I never thought I could speak His name. I never thought He would give me the home and the family that He's given me. All because of what took place in the past. What you're talking about is the grace of God that helped you go one more day and one more week. And I'll hang in there just a little bit longer. His grace provides for the journey. If you're at that place this morning, you know you're saved, but you're not where you're supposed to be spiritually. You're not how you are. And maybe this week you have failed and nobody knows about it. Let me tell you this morning, run to that throne. Don't run from it. Run to the throne. The judge already knows. But what the judge wants to remind you of is this is not a throne of judgment because the price has already been paid. This is where you find mercy. And I just want you to know, you are forgiven. Now, let's tap into that grace. Let's move forward. Let's throw your shoulders back, not in pride and arrogance of I can do whatever I want to do, but I have a God who loves me enough that He gave His Son to pay my sin debt. That blood was shed and that blood was applied to my sin debt. And I look to Calvary. I look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And all those things are in my past. God says, you are forgiven and I can move forward. Friend, you can put your life back together. That's the grace of God. You can find mercy and be reminded that you're forgiven. But there at that throne, you also find the grace that says, let's put the pieces back together. Let's put the life back together. Well, I don't know what's going to happen. He says, my grace will be sufficient for you. You find it the same place you find that mercy. Many Christians today live at this God's throne is a door they're afraid to knock on. Well, I've got to solve my problems first. You do realize that there are some problems you cannot solve. Well, I've got to get everything in order. I got to get my emotions under control. Well, I found there's some way, some things, the only way I can get my emotions under control is to enter into that throne room. I've got to fix myself. Can I remind you this morning? That throne of grace where you obtain mercy, it was never designed for strong people. Because there are no strong people. It was never designed for perfect people. Never designed for people with no problems and no failures, no heartaches, and no disappointments. It was never designed for people with no regrets. It was never designed for people who would say, I wish I could go back and change some things. It was never designed for those people. Because can I tell you this morning, there are no people like that. There's only people who have failed. There's only people whose faith faltered. There's only people who have been overcome by a fault. There's only people who have regret. God says, come to the throne of grace. And at that throne of grace, you'll obtain mercy. Friend, this morning, you don't have to fix yourself before you come to God. You can't fix yourself at all. You must come to God and obtain that mercy. Tap into that grace so that you can move forward, so that things can be repaired, and so life can go on, and you can get the strength that you need. You say, well, Pastor Neil, you don't understand what I'm trying to overcome. I don't have to understand that. I know how big my God is. I know how strong that mercy is. I know the testimony of people here who years ago they came to that mercy and said, I just need to find mercy. And God said, you've got it. Because you have a great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, who entered into my presence on your behalf, and he applied that blood. And you now belong to me. Your price has been paid. And when you go to that mercy, it's just him saying, hey, the price has already been paid. Let me remind you, you've been forgiven. Now let me give you some grace. You won't always feel like going to church. God give you the grace to go. You won't always feel like saying no. But let me give you the grace to do it. It's going to be a hard road to put things back together. But by grace, we'll allow you to do it. Friend, this morning, if you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, it is a throne room of judgment. Because those sins have to be satisfied. And just as there had to be a priest in those Old Testament days come on behalf of the people and offer a sacrifice, and that blood of that spotless animal would be shed to satisfy a holy God. If you know your Bible, you know it well enough to know that that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ who would one day come. And he would shed his innocent blood so that then, as our high priest, he would take his own perfect, innocent, atoning blood. And on behalf of all who would believe on him, truth of the matter is, he paid the sin debt for every man. And you could obtain mercy. Well, I've got to get perfect first. Never going to get there. I've got to take all the Baptist sacraments. There are none. Well, I've got to join the church. Not going to do you any good. You've got to accept the payment. But let me tell you what he'll grant: mercy. Mercy receives me. This still gives many of you victory because you're trying to be perfect. And when you're not, you avoid the very things of God that you need. I don't have time for this, but we should be conforming to the image of God. Not going by a list of perfection. If we're conforming to His image, and He is perfect, the truth of the matter is, until we get to glory, we're going to fail, we're going to come up short. We're not going to be what we're supposed to be. And instead of quitting on God, what we should do is go to that throne of grace to obtain mercy. This morning, by way of invitation, I invite you to that throne of grace. I invite you to an old-fashioned altar to kneel and say, well, people might think I'm a sinner. Friend, I hate the cat's out of the bag, as the saying goes. We know. You know how we know? Because we know what's in our heart. We know what's in our mind. We know how we failed. We know what we are. And friend, let's just all put down our pride and let's just stop pretending and understand and acknowledge this morning that we're all just a bunch of sinners. And if you're saved by the grace of God. And we all come up short and we all have failed and we all have fallen flat on our face spiritually. We're all struggling with our flesh. But God says, come to the throne of grace, and you'll obtain mercy. And that mercy will remind you that back there, you're forgiven. Now let me give you the grace to overcome so we don't fall in that same place. Let me give you the grace to surrender those areas that you need to surrender. Let me give you the grace. Say, well, Pastor, does that mean the rest of my life? No, for that next moment, you're going to have the grace. Well, what happens? I don't know what's going to happen if I get in that same situation. When the time comes, He'll give you grace to move forward. Say, Pastor, what if I come to an altar? What if I do business with God this morning and I'm reminded of that mercy and I get that grace? And what if I... You mean, what if you're still flesh? What if you still sin? We know what you do. You get right back up. You go back into that throne room. And sometimes it's shameful, and sometimes it's frustrating. And all the time it's probably those things. So God, I don't know why I'm back here again. Oh, you're here so I can remind you again you're forgiven. Now let's find some grace, and let's move forward. Friend, this morning, mercy receives you. If mercy, we have that promise of mercy receiving us. Let's find the grace that we need. Father, help us today.